Thank you, Tikwan. Good afternoon. My name is Wole Akinremi, and I found that this is the case of reaping where you do not sow, because when I look at the handbook, I find that it's only my name in there, and the people who really did the work were missing. So I'd like to acknowledge Cindy Grant, who is the leader of this experiment. Dr. Ige and Gao, Dr. Fletin and Mali are also collaborators in this project. As a form of introduction, we know that application of phosphate fertilizer will influence the soil test P. It would be nice to be able to have a way of estimating the change in soil test P as a function of fertilizer application. That would be a useful parameter to get. Now, most jurisdictions are having regulations in terms of P, and so this will be a good tool that we can use for fertilizer management. For example, you want to know how much can you apply before you get to a particular threshold. If you have a rate of increase in information, this will be something you can use for your soil. However, it's likely that this rate parameter will differ from one soil to the other. What are the factors that will influence this change in soil test P as a function of fertilizer application? Well, we have soil texture, we have soil pH, cation exchange capacity, phosphorus absorption capacity, the type and amount of exchangeable cations, and amount of iron and aluminum. These are some of the factors that affect or influence the dynamics of phosphorus within the soil. So what is the objective of this? Well, the objective of this is just to use an ongoing field study to explore relationship between soil test P and cumulative fertilizer P, and also examine the soil factors that influence this rate information. Now, this is where the study was carried out. The study was carried out across the three prairie provinces with three sites in Manitoba, one site in Saskatchewan, and three sites in Alberta. The study was started in 2002, and it was carried on to 2004. You have a transect of about 1,200 kilometers separating the various study sites. The next table shows you the properties of the seven sites, and you can see that there's a wide variation when you look at pH. You see the pH going from about 5.2 for Carman to about 7.7 for the Brandon site. Also, you have differences in total iron, cation exchange capacity going from 16 to about 42. You have the clay, the texture going from about 60% sand to about 8% sand, and 20% clay to about 40% clay. So a wide variation in the various properties of this source. Now, in terms of the experiment, this experiment was originally meant for cadmium, and you have four rates of fertilizer, 0, 20, 40, and 80, that was applied annually from 2002 to 2008. To put this into perspective, 20 kilograms per hectare is what will normally be applied on the prairie. So this 80 kilograms is a high rate of P application. Apart from the P the rate, we also have different forms of fertilizer containing three levels of cadmium, 0.38, 80, and 210. And they did this by looking at fertilizer from three different sources, representing fertilizer. The low cadmium will represent fertilizer from Russia or Canada, whereas the high rate of cadmium will represent places from Idaho mines. Today, we are looking at the phosphorus. Within the plot, they sampled at two sites within each plot, and the soils were divided into two depths, 0 to 7.5 and 7.5 to 15 centimeter depth. And they were sampled annually, but we are using the data for 2002, 2004, 2006, 2007, and 2008 to look at the relationship. Now, we took the samples and we analyzed them for different forms of P. We analyzed Olsen P, Melick 3P, Kelowna, and Wara. Olsen P is the form of soil test P that we use in Manitoba, and so that's one of the four STP that we looked at. Now, each data point that I'll be showing you consists of a mean of 12 values, because we have four reps and three types of fertilizer. We kept the types of fertilizer because we want to pull out the cadmium data from our extraction. Now, let me put a caveat to this study that when you have a data like this, it's possible to analyze this in two ways. You can look at a dynamic approach, for example, using principle of chemical kinetics, where you are looking at rate parameters, or it's also possible to analyze it using statistics, using, say, regression analysis. We have taken the latter approach as a first approximation, and again, this is a first cut looking at this data to just look at the relationship. Now, let me show you the result. The result that I'm showing you are for two sites, Kerman, just two contrasting sites, Kerman with a pH of 5.5 and Brandon with a pH of 7.7. I just picked these two sites out of the seven sites. Now, here is the result that we have. We have on this axis, on the y-axis, we have the extractable phosphorus going from 0 to 300, and on this axis, we have the cumulative amount of phosphorus that we added. And here, we use various equations to relate these two and look at the relationship. The green line is the Mehlich 3P extractable or salt SP, the blue line is the orosin, and the pink line is the water extractable P. And as very surprising, this is the quadratic fit of the Kerman site at the 0 to 7.5. We find that the quadratic equation actually fit the data very well, which is very surprising. However, for this Kerman site, even with this quadratic fit, we see that we are still in the linear portion of the quadratic fit. When you see the Brandon, you will see that it actually responded. It has a curvilinear shape to it. So you can see that we have an R-square going from a 1 to 0.99. Very, very good fit for either Wara, Mehlich 3, or Olsen extractable P. Now, we also looked at exponential fit, looking at exponential fit again. The exponential fit for either Mehlich 3, Olsen, or Wara, again, the same axis. The regression parameters was very, very good, more than 0.9. However, it was not as good as the quadratic fit. And lastly, for the Kerman site, we look at the linear fit, just a simple linear equation. And again, the linear regression was very good. In all three cases, with all the three extractants, we got an R-squared of 0.99. When you look at this slope tells you the relative magnitude of this extractant in this soil. For example, the water is 0.1, which is about one half of Olsen, which is 0.2, which is about one half of Mehlich 3, which is 0.9. So this tells you the relative magnitude of this extractant. Now that I've shown you the one from Kerman, I'm going to shift gear and show you the one from Brandon. Again, we are going to use the three forms of equation to look at this again. And now you see that the Brandon is showing the classic quadratic fit with us going through the maximum, and now the salt SP trending down. And similar to Kerman's side, we have a good relationship between the excitable P and the cumulative P with R squared of 1 and 0.99 for Olsen and for water. And similar to the Kerman side, the exponential fit was not as good as the quadratic fit. Again, you see the R squared there was smaller than what we got for the quadratic fit. And finally, the linear fit was good, but not as good as the quadratic fit. So I'm going to summarize that and say that the best fit for all soil was produced by the quadratic equation. This was followed closely by the linear equation, and the exponential equation produced the worst fit. We did this both for 0 to 7.5 and 7 to 15 centimeter, but we found that the lower depth was not as good in terms of the relationship compared to the surface, which is not surprising since, generally speaking, the P were applied directly to this close to the soil surface. Now that we found that the quadratic, these parameters were very good, now we want to see what is the relationship between the regression parameters and some of the soil properties. And we did this using four out of the seven sites, because not all these sites have complete data set. And so when we did that, this is the type of relationship that we got. Here we have the parameters of the quadratic, the parameters of the exponential, and the parameters of the linear regression. And this is the correlation coefficient with pH, the cation exchange capacity, percent iron, Mehlich 3 calcium, Mehlich 3 magnesium, and the index of desorption maxima. And here we are looking at Mehlich 3P. where the main thing we found, the bold face type showed you that these are significant at the 5% level. We found that iron was significantly related to the second term of the quadratic equation, and it was negatively related. Also, the term, the exponential term B was negatively related to the pH, to Mel3P, and to the sorption maximum, which means that the higher these properties, the smaller is the rise in Sorter's P within a unit amount of fertilizer that you applied. This is for Mel3, and I'm going to show you the Olsen, which is actually the soil test, and you find that with Olsen, more of the properties were actually related to the regression parameters, and in the case of the second term, it was negatively related to all the properties except Mel3 magnesium. This is significant at the 5% level, and they were negatively correlated to most of the soil properties. Also, the exponential term was negatively correlated to Mel3 calcium and the desorption maximum. Very, very surprising, though, the linear parameters was not, which is what I was expecting. The linear parameter, even though it has negative correlation, none of this was high, none of this was statistically significant. Now that I found that the quadratic equation actually explained, I can do a mathematical trick and determine fertilizer amount at the point of maximum, because it's also easy to differentiate that quadratic equation to determine the point of maximum or point of minimum. In this case, we are determining the point of maximum when we set the differential to zero. And so when I did this, where I found that, well, with Kaman behaves so differently in that it seems as if we were not yet at the maximum point within that curve. And even for Mel3, we were not able to determine this value because this term, the second term of the quadratic equation, was not negative. The term has to be negative for you to use this equation. But for the other term, we found that we got very similar amount regardless of the forms of extraction, about 500 kilogram per hectare produce the maximum soil test P in this soil. Well, let me summarize the result that we got. Again, this is preliminary, and what is the take home message on this? The take home message is that now that we have a first cut of looking at this data, we need to look at it because there are things happening in there. You have the rate, and you have the aging effect, as my colleague referred to it. So you have the fertilizer aging, and you have the rate effect, and that needs to be teased out and separated with time. Anyway, soil test P in the 0 to 7.5 centimeter was strongly related to amount of P added. That was not surprising. What was surprising was the fact that quadratic equation produced the best fit for all the soils. Rate of increase was inversely related to cation exchange capacity, the pH, the iron in the soil, and the Mel3 calcium, which are the properties that affect or influence the dynamic of P. And again, it suggests that, well, in this soil, once you at least the three of the four soils, once you apply 500 kilograms per hectare, that would seem to be the point of maximum of soil test P. Soil test P then tends to decrease within this period of time. I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I'd like to take questions at this point.
Mr. S. Powell, your quadratic equation had a negative parameter for the x squared term.
Yep.
Implying that soil test values would actually go down under sort of long-term sustain.
Yes.
Why would that be?
I have no. Well, what is happening is that again you have the aging effect. You have the aging effect. You have that. We know that when we apply P to soil and you just incubate with time, we know that soil test P goes down. Okay. So soil test P goes down as P go, especially in these soils that has quite a bit of calcium, and so some of the soils that have quite a bit of calcium, you know that the P will first of all go to the labile form, and then with time it goes to it, and not only precipitation but transformation also within the soil. You go from things like DCPD, which is soluble, to OCP, to hydroxyapatite.